Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour with Paul Sadek and Corey Regan starts now.
Welcome to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Paul Sadek.
And I'm Corey Regan.
Did you like the snow?
Paul, it's killing me. What do we do about this? I have to think that God has great, great plans for May and June or
Boy,
something.
I mean, hope so. And his ways are certainly mysterious.
Patience, it's always a lesson. There's a lesson in everything, right?
I guess so. Yeah, and we'll find out eventually. Well, here's a quick look at what's coming up on the Rediscover Hour today. In answering the call, we'll talk with a man who's helping thousands of teens explore a deeper engagement in the faith and a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. We're so blessed to have Net Ministries based right here in the Twin Cities. We'll find out more about their mission to reach out to young people.
And we'll listen in on today's invitation situation with Bishop Lee Pache about a good and not so good way to reach out to a family member who only attends Mass at Christmas and Easter. Hear his suggestions for harnessing positive engagement and lots of patience to invite loved ones to rediscover the truth and beauty of our faith.
Plus, we'll talk with a local woman about the good work that the Archdiocesan Council of Catholic Women does every day throughout this local church and about a big event coming up that will highlight some of this work.
But we're going to start the show today with Joe Towalski, editor of the Catholic Spirit. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning, Corey. How are you?
Great, thank you.
We've got a little sunshine over here by the cathedral, so maybe spring really is right around the corner here.
We'll hope for that. We'll go with that.
Well, in this week's issue, our April 11th edition, we've got a lot of local news, and some of it relates to our Catholic schools. You know, Pope Emeritus Benedict and Pope Francis have been inspiring a lot of people, certainly Pope Benedict with the way he served the Church and then the way he exited the world stage, I guess, and Pope Francis coming on and really being a visible sign of the need to care for the poor. And a couple of our schools are doing some really neat things, and we highlighted some of that. St. Croix Catholic School in Stillwater was motivated to do works of mercy by looking at what Pope Francis has done, and they collected some needed items for the residents of the Little Sisters of the Poor, Holy
Wonderful.
Family Residence Nursing Home. So that's a really neat thing they're doing. And then some students at Holy Family in St. Louis Park, they wrote letters to Pope Benedict, and I thought maybe I could read a couple of these here because I think they're just really heartfelt. And here's one from a third grader that wrote, "Dear Pope Benedict, I will miss you being our Pope. When it was time for you to retire, we all watched you get in the helicopter and shut the door. My friend was crying, and she squeezed my hand and my friend's hand. My whole class is praying for you and the new Pope. I hope you have a good retirement." So that's mm-hmm. kind of just, again, really, really heartfelt from this third grader. And here's another one from a fifth grader, Kathleen, over there. She wrote, "Dear Holy Father, thank you for guiding the Church and being our Father for these past 8 years. Thank you for giving us the Year of Faith, keeping the tradition of World Youth Day, and instructing us in your many great books. I plan on reading one to help me grow in my faith. Thank you, Holy Father, for all you have contributed to the Catholic Church. My school has prayed a novena for you, and you are in my prayers." So I think, you know, certainly just that some of the insight, we have other letters that we published as well from the students. You know, I think sometimes we don't give kids
right.
as much credit as we should for
right.
really being aware of what's going on in the Church. And, you know, with this just very historic papal transition that we had, our schools are doing a really great job of keeping our kids educated about what's going on there and informed. And,
that's great.
And this is a great outlet for them. So folks, like I said, readers can see more of those letters in our paper this week and learn a little bit more about what some other schools are doing. And then also this week we have a front page story about a joint open letter that our Catholic and Lutheran bishops in the state have sent to our lawmakers in the House and the Senate and also our governor about the need to keep the poor in mind as budget negotiations go on.
Mm-hmm.
Also in the spirit of Pope Francis.
Absolutely. And they are asking our lawmakers to put a circle of protection. That's the phrase they use around programs serving the poor.
That's great.
You know, it's still a difficult economy mm-hmm. and a lot of needs out there, and there are some cuts being proposed to the human services portion of the budget, and, you know, care for the poor obviously is a hallmark of Catholic social teaching,
right.
And the bishops make the point that budget decisions are ultimately moral decisions. We tend to put our money where our priorities are, and, you know, they came together here to make sure that the poor are one of those priorities. And they also emphasize, of course, the need for some bipartisanship, which we know sometimes the polarization that can happen in politics, sometimes it's hard to, you know, to bring people together to pass some of this needed legislation. But again, our bishops, and it's great, it's a spirit of cooperation
mm-hmm.
that they've partnered here with it's the ELCA Lutheran bishops to send this joint letter. And, you know, they also end that by saying they'll be praying for our lawmakers. And, you know, that's something we can all do at this time. Very needed.
Now, you saw an advanced showing of 42, didn't you?
I did. You know, I'm a huge baseball fan. And, you know, I'm waiting to see my first Twins game of the season, but I'd like the snow to
right.
melt here first.
I think you should wait a little longer.
But, yes, I got to see the movie that is coming out today. It's called 42, and it's about Jackie Robinson and his struggle to tear down racial barriers when he became the first player to break the color barrier in the major leagues back in 1947. And it's just a wonderful movie that really chronicles the struggles he went through. And Harrison Ford, you know, of Indiana Jones fame,
oh, yes.
Branch
of course.
Rickey, who is the general manager of the Brooklyn Dodgers, who really you know, buck the prejudices of his day and offered Jackie Robinson a contract. And
that's cool.
It's just a great movie. I think, you know, it's something that, you know, maybe parents and older kids would enjoy. It comes with the caution that there's a lot of racial language in
mm-hmm.
there because
yeah.
that is exactly what Jackie Robinson had to experience.
It's real.
That's what happened, yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, I left there thinking, what a great inspirational story. But there was also, I think, there a lesson for Catholics and people of faith. You know, Jackie Robinson and Branch Rickey, they really stuck to their values and really stuck to doing the right thing no matter what. And it really did begin to transform some of the culture around them. Not everybody, but a lot of people. And I think that's good lessons for us that, you know, given sometimes some of the struggles we have with the culture around us, if we stick to doing what's right, and, you know, we can maybe start transforming some of
people start
some
to
of the
notice.
Culture around us. Exactly.
Plant some seeds.
Yes, exactly. And then we also had in this issue a big section about Catholic Community Foundation, which is a philanthropic, been doing philanthropic work, great work for the last 20 years. And we have a six-page section that features an interview with Mary Lou Eldred, the president, who will be leaving at the end of this month, and also with the incoming president, Ann Miller. And we talk a little bit about what the foundation does and what its future plans are and how people can, ways people can invest their money in our community, Catholic community here, to be doing the good works that a lot of parishes, schools are doing. And we also talk about some socially responsible investing, which is one of the ways that they make sure our Catholic values, people who invest money, that their Catholic values are honored. And I think we have a little bit of an audio clip from that interview with Mary Lou and Ann talking a little bit about the work of the foundation.
I think first for most Catholics, they know that whatever we do with this foundation will align with their Catholic values. And for our donors, our individuals and families, that is a huge, huge benefit. You know, they could go many other places and invest their money, but they wouldn't know for sure whether it's going to be either invested or given away to organizations that align with Catholic values. So to me, that's one of our absolutely biggest benefits. We talk about our personal service. You know, we're kind of at everyone's beck and call day and night, and go out to parishes to do presentations on a frequent basis. And we're able, I think, to serve a variety of individuals and institutions through the various vehicles that we have, you know, through planned giving, through endowments, through donor-advised funds, and, you know, many others as well. So,
yeah, I, and it, you know, just another way to say some of that is, you know, giving is personalized to individual interests and values, and, you know, we can step up and help in a very unique way. through donor advised funds for younger donors who are just getting started in their philanthropy and are interested in the tax efficiency of that, as well as the even the economics of it, that it's just this easy way to give. If you sit in the pews and you care about Catholic education, if you care about educating and providing support for priests, if you care about paying it forward in terms of this Catholic community of your parish that has served you and probably your family, even the Center for Mission that serves beyond our domestic borders, CCF can make that happen for you in many different ways, regardless of the resources you think you have or don't have. You know, some people think that they just don't have enough money to step up, and I think, you know, through some of our portfolio of options, we can show people that, in fact, they can give, and they can give in a meaningful way.
Yeah, the foundation tends to be maybe one of those things a lot of people don't know about, kind of a great...
It's a well-kept secret.
Yeah, I think so. It's one of those well-kept secrets. But this section, I think, will give folks who don't know much about it a good snapshot about who they are and what they do, and maybe how they can also contribute to the needs of the Catholic community around Archdiocese.
Also, the Rediscover pullout.
Yes, and this week we've... focus on building a personal relationship with Jesus, and the main feature is Joe Ruscha from Net Ministries, who will be on the program a little later here.
That's right.
That's all in, what, give me the issue date again, Joe.
It's April 11th.
April 11th, issue of the Catholic Spirit, the official newspaper of the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis, and it should be on your doorstep right now or very soon. Joe, thanks for joining us today.
Yes, thank you. Have a great weekend.
We'll see you again
too.
Next week. Yep. And you can find The Catholic Spirit online anytime. Just go to thecatholicspirit.com. Well, coming up today on the Rediscover Hour, ladies, have you considered becoming active in the Council of Catholic Women? Well, you have an opportunity to find out more about this amazing organization at the ACCW's annual convention coming up in May. We'll have details. Plus, in answering the call, we'll find out more about Net Ministry's great work bringing teens locally and across the country to the faith into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And ahead, Bishop Lee Pache shares suggestions for engaging with family members who only attend Mass at Easter and Christmas in today's invitation situation, all coming up on the Rediscover Hour. I'd like to introduce Therese McCann, a licensed psychologist in St. Paul. She not only shares your Catholic values, but uses the Catholic faith in therapy sessions.
I'm really excited by the work I'm able to do with faith-filled Catholics. It's very efficient and effective, and we do it in prayer. If you're not able to live life to the fullest, I'm very skilled at getting to the core of what's bothering you. And when we get there, we'll invite the Lord in. It's where He belongs. It's where He wants to be. And when God comes in contact with our woundedness, amazing things happen. Everyone needs help sometimes. So give me a call. Come on in. With the Lord's help, we'll get it done.
I'm Dr. Matt Paquette. I'm a local physician. I'm a local internist here in the Twin Cities, and I've sent dozens of patients to Therese McCann with wonderful results. It's not only that she gives very helpful advice, but what's so amazing is that she brings about a real and lasting transformation in people.
You can reach psychologist Therese McCann at 651-222-5200.
Tear away the ties that bind you.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Paul Sadek.
And I'm Corey Regan, and we were just looking through the news for stories about the new evangelization. And here's one I found on the Catholic News Agency by Randy Hain, and he's talking about this phrase, I guess, this, as people call them, the C&E Catholics and
yes.
The new evangelization. It kind of has to go along with our segment from Bishop Pache later.
Uh-huh.
But he's talking about how we can get them more involved and begin to get them back into the church and to actively practice their faith again.
Well, it's a very delicate situation because I'm sure everybody knows some C&E Catholics, either in the family or friends.
Right, and they're around everywhere. And he talks about, I guess, five things that he believes we can do.
Five very practical suggestions.
Right, easy things and common sense, but I guess we need to remember to do them, to pray, first of all. and secondly, to make Christ and the Catholic Church attractive and inviting, which we talk about doing things that are welcoming and extending an invitation that is warm and not intimidating to others, to stop judging and engage and listen and love these people, and then to direct them to the Catholics Come Home website, catholicscomehome.org. Maybe that's
or
a way.
To rediscover-faith.org.
Well, of course, that's a given, right? Or in the book, give them the book too, right?
Sure.
Those are great things, and you can read about that on catholicnewsagency.com.
The Council of Catholic Women are active year-round in parishes throughout this local church.
The Archdiocesan Catholic, or Council of Catholic Women, or ACCW for short, have their 81st annual convention coming up in just a few weeks.
And this year's convention is themed, Be the Voice of Catholic Women. There are so many exciting reasons for you to attend this morning. We're joined by Debbie Keller, the convention's chair, with all the details. Good morning, Debbie.
Good morning.
Tell me a little bit about the Archdiocesan Council of Catholic Women.
Well, we are an organization that really has rings of counsel from the parish level all the way to the Pope. We say from the parish to the Pope. And our Archdiocesan Council of Catholic Women has board members from over 30 parishes. And I am on the board as the second vice president. I'm also this year's convention chair.
Great. And tell us a little bit about the convention. What does it entail? What's the schedule look like?
There's something for everyone. I've got pieces of paper on my table here to remind me, but we have a two-day event this year for the very first time, and we are so excited about it.
And that's May 1st and May 2nd, correct?
Yes, May 1st and May 2nd at Guardian Angels Church in Oakdale. I'm going to go back just a step.
Sure.
I was in a Rediscover Catholicism book club, and something really spoke to me, and I believe that is our philosophy for our convention. On page 290 in that book, Matthew Kelly talks about the nature and purpose of the church to influence people and communities by bringing life and teachings of Jesus Christ to life in every place and time, and a local church community should be contagious. So we have used the steps that he laid out.
Wonderful.
Step one, friendship. Step two, prayer. Step three, tell your story. And then four, extend an invitation. And without knowing it, I think that has been our philosophy and our the way that we have planned this committee. So the committee decided to promote a two-day event this year for the very first time because we were finding that women in the past had come to our conventions. We need more. This isn't enough.
Wanting more, huh?
Yes, longer workshops. We'd like to have a keynote speaker and workshops combined, and we'd like to find out more about this organization. So the first day, we have opening liturgy on Wednesday, May 1st at 12:30 with our spiritual advisor, Father David Kohner. And then if people want to take a break for about a half an hour, we have wonderful vendors coming in a marketplace. We've got jewelry, arts and crafts, fair trade products.
So some shopping in there as well. That's wonderful. That's great.
Some amazing speakers coming from outside, too. Father Michael Jonkas. I mean, he's a Twin Cityan, so I guess I shouldn't say from outside.
Yes. Well, we're so excited. He'll be with us the entire day. He'll be speaking on Sing to the Lord, a new song, reflections on composing for the church's worship. He'll be performing for us during the banquet. We have a banquet. We have, let me back up. We have a business meeting following his keynote presentation, and then we will have a wine and cheese social during which he will be playing the piano, and he said, could I play some Broadway tunes?
Oh, cool.
We said,
jazz
sure.
It up a bit.
Yes, yeah.
Now, for those who don't know Father Michael Jonkas, he is the composer of On Eagle's Wings. That's his best-known song, and he's composed a lot of the other music that you sing at Mass every mm-hmm. Sunday.
Yes.
He also teaches at the University of St. Thomas.
Yes, he does, yeah. So we're thrilled that he's going to be spending the entire day with us on Wednesday. And then we have a banquet and social following the wine and cheese event in the evening. And then we start again on Thursday, bright, fresh, early in the morning at 8 a.m. for registration. Marketplace vendors will be open for business. We'll have kind of an abbreviated business meeting recapping what we spoke about at our business meeting on Wednesday, and then we begin with our first speaker session from 9 to 10:30. And our speakers, the lineup of speakers we have, I think we're really addressing some key issues with our speakers this year, which is very exciting. Pat Truman, who is the Morality and Media Director, will be speaking on the pornography pandemic.
Uh-huh.
Father Thomas McQuaid will be speaking on advocacy for the poor among us through
mm-hmm.
Catholic Relief Services. And then Jason Adkins will be speaking on the topic Catholics at the Capitol. So that's the first session. You will have a choice of one of three, and you can pre-register for one of those ahead of time. Another break in there, we find women just want to shop, socialize,
right.
have coffee, you know, fellowship.
Make it fun.
And then at 10:30 to 11, we'll have a break, and there will be an opportunity to pray the rosary. During that time, confessions will be offered, and then at 11 o'clock a.m. we'll have our convention liturgy with Archbishop Neinstead and diocesan and archdiocesan priests. We do have individuals coming from other dioceses, too. This is just not for the archdiocesan individuals.
So what are the costs, and who should attend, and how can we register for the ACCW convention?
The costs are... for the 2 days, total is $65. That includes the workshops and both the banquet and then the luncheon on Thursday. One-day attendance is $30, and then if you attend the banquet on Wednesday evening only, that is $20. The deadline is actually today, so if you have your registration postmarked today, you will get the $65 or the other rates that I've mentioned. Otherwise, there's an additional $10 late fee after today.
And
excellent.
Where can they get that registration form?
You can go to our website, which is www.accwarchspm.org, or you can call our office at 651-291-4545.
Great. And I think there's also a link on our show page for that form as well, or a link to your website, so they can do it that way as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Debbie Keller of the Archdiocesan Council of Catholic Women, thanks so much for joining us today.
You are welcome,
thanks,
and we'd love to see everybody there.
Make
Sounds
your plans
good.
To attend the ACCW 81st Annual Convention, May 1st and 2nd at Guardian Angels in Oakdale. This is the last day to register early at early bird rates. Cost for the two-day convention, including meals, $65. One-day attendance, $30. Wednesday banquet, only $20. All registrations after today, including walk-ins, at an additional $10.
And again, here is how you can register. You can register by downloading the form online at their website, accwarchspm.org. And we've set up a link on our show page at rediscover-faith.org. Just click on radio in the top navigation bar to get to our show page. Or you can call the ACCW office at 651-291-4545. That's 651-291-4545 to have a registration form mailed to you. That number one more time, 651-291-4545.
Every week on the Rediscover Hour, we catch up with a few local Catholics and ask them a question. This week we asked, what is your memory of Confirmation Day? Here's how they responded.
My name is Arlene Leiden, and I've been a member of Nativity of Our Lord Parish in St. Paul for 52 years. I made my confirmation with my brother and with my two first cousins. I came from a small town. I do remember that, and I remember I was frightened that maybe the bishop would ask me a question. But he did not. But it also was a very exciting day.
I'm Seal from St. Peter's in Mendota. I think it just kind of made me a little bit deeper into the faith, too, at that age, where you kind of need something, and it was seventh grade for me. And it just kind of
confirmed, as the word goes.
I'm Josh from St. Joseph's in West St. Paul. Confirmation actually does stand out to me something a little bit more memorable. Again, it's high school, and it was right around the time that I had a bigger conversion when I took my faith on as my own, and I knew with confidence this is something I wanted to do. I remember my family was there. I come from a separated family, so my dad had come to my confirmation. My brother was there, and he didn't go to Mass. Same with my mother. It's just something that I took on as my own faith, but at the same time, it brought my family together again. I can really see the power of God's grace, His love, and just abundant mercy pouring out, especially through the sacraments.
Hi, I'm Joan from Transfiguration in Oakdale. I was in seventh grade, and I chose Teresa as my confirmation name. I chose that because it was my mom's confirmation name, so I wanted to carry that tradition on. And I remember liking St. Teresa, the little flower.
Well, you know, being adult converts, Corey, you and I don't have the same memories as a lot of the cradle Catholics, but confirmation is such a beautiful part of the journey.
It is.
For a Catholic.
It's a big mark, and it's a big thing to get to for me.
I was,
it was
going to say rite of passage, right. but that's it's so much more than that.
And it's a beautiful memory for me, and I remember being filled with emotion. I was at the Basilica, and it was a very, very big day, and my family was there supporting me, and I can remember it to this day vividly.
Outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Well, every week on the Rediscover Hour, we'll hear from local Catholics about a faith topic.
And if you have an idea for a topic, there are lots of ways to reach us. Email us at therediscoverhour@archspm.org or go click on the radio button in the top navigation bar at rediscover-faith.org and reach us through our show page, or contact us through the Relevant Radio site at relevantradio.com, keyword rediscover.
Coming up today on the Rediscover Hour, are you concerned about a family member who only attends Mass at Christmas and Easter? We'll hear about the importance of patience in engaging Catholics who have drifted away from the life of the Church in today's invitation situation.
Plus, in answering the call, we'll talk with a member of Net Ministries team about reaching out to teens and inviting them into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It's all ahead on the Rediscover Hour.
We witness winning performances every day, whether it's at Little League or at work.
Well done, Johnson.
Bridgestone Tires give you winning performance every day. At the Spring into Savings Tire event, you'll find Bridgestone Tires that can help your vehicle perform like a winner, just like your little MVP. It's time to perform with Bridgestone. Your journey, our passion. Available at Westside Tire in Corcoran, just minutes west of the Metro. 763-420-2100. They'll take care of you.
Finally, a tire that lets you go green and save green. Now through April 30th, buy four select fuel-efficient Bridgestone Ecopia or Eco Product tires, and you could receive a $70 American Express reward card by mail. Bridgestone, your journey, our passion.
Terms and conditions apply to American Express reward card. Certain limitations apply, including monthly fee of $2 beginning in month 7 after activation. Visit BridgestoneTire.com/promotion for complete terms and cardholder agreement. Card issued by American Express Prepaid Card Management Corporation.
Relevant radio listeners, go to Westside Tire. They'll take care of you.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Paul Sadek.
And I'm Corey Regan. Having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ changes everything.
A lot of people can remember exactly when their personal encounter with Christ took place. At a retreat, in prayer before the Lord in the Blessed Sacrament, in solitude, or surrounded by believers.
In today's Answering the Call, we get to talk to a man who has helped introduce thousands of teens to a personal relationship with Christ. Joe Ruscha, Outreach Coordinator for Net Ministries, joins us by phone. Joe, are you there?
Yes, I am. Good morning, Paul. Good morning, Corey.
Good morning. Can you tell us, for those not familiar with Net Ministries, what they do and what you do at Net?
Listen, it's the most exciting thing I can imagine doing, at least in my life and the lives of so many here on the staff at Net Ministries. We are an international Catholic youth ministry organization that began in 1981 here, actually, in the Archdiocese of St. Paul, Minneapolis, where we're still based. And our purpose is to provide evangelistic retreats for Catholic young people all across the United States and beyond.
Wonderful.
And you do that by going out to high schools, colleges, and...
Right. On the national level, we recruit and equip and send out approximately 150 Catholic young adults ages 18 to 27. And we provide them training, we equip them, and then we send them out to travel around the United States, 100 dioceses actually here in the United States, to go into a parish and provide either a three-hour, a weekend, a one-day evangelistic retreat where these young people hear the gospel, and they have an opportunity to receive prayer and grow in their faith. Every year, we 65,000 Catholic teenagers will experience a net retreat, and we did ran some numbers since 1981 when we began. 1.6 million teens have heard the gospel of Jesus Christ on a net retreat.
How great. Well, there's an article in this week's Catholic Spirit Rediscover pullout section, and you talk about how introducing teens to a personal relationship with Christ makes the difference in a lot of lives. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yes, my experience and maybe the experience of others is that our Catholic faith, it's not only a matter of believing that certain things are true, but it's above all a personal relationship with Jesus. It's an encounter with the Son of God, and this encounter gives us new energy to our existence. And it's only when we enter into a personal relationship with Jesus that he reveals our identity. Our life takes on all new meaning, and our purpose is marked with authentic joy and all the other fruits of the Holy Spirit.
Now, I'm sure you have some stories to tell about case histories of people who've gone through Net Ministries programs.
Yeah, tell us about the girl in the article.
Oh, my word. That happened and has never left my mind. Sarah. Sarah. Oh, my goodness, Sarah. I was in my office preparing for the retreat at the other end of the Net building, taking care of all the administrative-y things before we began the event, when someone just knocks on my door. Joe, you've got to come down to the gymnasium quick. And I'm like, oh, my goodness, what could possibly be wrong? So I hustled down there and looked around, and wow, they didn't say a word. I knew exactly what was going on, and it was this Sarah. And Sarah was all alone in a corner. And Sarah was like no one else I'd ever seen before. She was as goth could be. My goodness, she had black eyelids and lipstick, and her hair was dyed as black could be. Her fingernails, body piercing, oversized black shirts, big black pants and shoes, and I'm like, wow.
So she appeared to be a bit out there.
She wasn't fitting in with the rest of the group, so to speak.
Well,
not as everyone else. Yeah, not as everyone else. So she stood out a little bit.
She stood out a little bit would be an understatement. But the beauty of it all is that, of course, all of our Net team members, it doesn't matter.
You know, right.
Who shows up in front of us, and we are trained and just know that everyone's a daughter of God or son of God, so they embraced her, welcomed her in.
That's wonderful.
Long story short, she had a life-changing retreat on that, a life-changing experience on that discipleship week.
Good for Sarah. And she probably spoke to some other people as well and taught some people about things and making changes as well. So that's a wonderful story.
Right.
Tell us your story now, Joe. What tell us about your personal relationship with Christ and how it was revealed to you.
I know it. God is so good. I tell you, God bless my father and my mother. I'm the oldest of eight. We grew up in Chattanooga, Tennessee.
I love your accent. It's taking me back. I'm from Texas, so.
Yeah, and down in Tennessee now, there's only like 2% Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
And so either you're Catholic or, you know, you're in a minority. And growing up, of course, with the eight of us, Joe, John, Jim, Jeff, Joni, Jerry, Jay, and Jed.
Oh, my gosh.
And Joe Sr. and Joanne, the 10 JRs, the eight of us at least, were just dragged to church every Sunday. Dad had that faith, you know, where you go to Mass. You go to Mass, and we were going to Mass,
yeah.
Like it or not.
Right.
And I would probably describe my faith up until 15, 16 years old, 17 years old, of more of an external, robotic, going through the motions kind of faith.
You had no choice.
No, we had no choice. And, oh, it was miserable. Oh, I was so miserable.
So what happened?
Well, you We went to the Catholic school down there at Our Lady of Perpetual Help, and lo and behold, a Franciscan nun gets transferred into the parish and begins teaching, begins hanging out with the students. Of course, I was a part of that. And she had a little zip. She had something going for her. She was alive somehow, and it got my attention. And one thing led to another, and I found myself on a retreat that she had invited me to go to. And it was on this retreat that I saw people whose faith was alive and active, and they talked about this God and this Jesus like they knew him, like he was like real. And I learned about God's love. I learned about the power of the Holy Spirit. I learned about how my life has purpose and meaning, but only through Jesus. And by the end of that retreat, a priest came up to the microphone, and there were quite a few of us there. And he said, you know, you've heard the gospel of Jesus. You've heard about the Father's love. You've heard about how he wants you to participate in life with him on high. And if you are ready for that or have never made that commitment, I invite you to stand. Paul and Corey, this has never happened before and never happened since. It was as if somebody just picked me up by the back of my belt pants
and stood you up.
Dropped me on my feet. I'm standing up, and of course, I'm looking around wondering, am I the only one? No, it was powerful.
Well, and it's cool that you made the choice to go to that retreat, not your parents. You know, you made
right.
That's the first choice you made for your own faith, you know?
That's exactly right.
Well, that can't always be the case, of course. Sometimes we have to give a little push to young people. Tell us what kinds of methods should be used to give that very gentle nudge to a young person to attend a net retreat.
You know, I think for me, and I'm sure it's true for others, there is something about someone who is fully alive and filled with the Holy Spirit in a way that kind of is contagious.
Walking the walk and living that authentic life.
It is. The authentic witness is everything.
Mm-hmm. It's more than words.
One of my favorite scriptures is from 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, and I mention this everywhere I go. Should anyone ask you the reason for that hope that is in you, be ever ready to respond, but humbly and reverently. When we're walking that authentic life, it's going to cause people to wonder why they're different, and then there's an opportunity.
So tell us about some of the opportunities coming up in the Twin Cities that are sponsored by Net Ministries.
You know, we do two or three big events that are evangelistic, and we get about, for one of the programs we offer, it's Lifeline. Lifeline takes place right here at our facility in West St. Paul.
I've heard of Lifeline.
Yes, we get about 1,000 teenagers here every first Saturday of the month, October through May, and it has dynamic music. We have great priests who really know how to communicate to young people, so the first part is Mass, and then the evening program is designed to be an evangelistic message and can take a variety of forms from Catholic artists, musicians, the NET team, the Archbishop, who's the president of NET Ministries, joins us annually, and it's a powerful evangelistic retreat. Our last one takes place this May the 2nd, I believe.
Okay, still
and
some time to plan.
We have a Lifeline West in Providence Academy tomorrow. It's at 6 o'clock. So that's
cool.
One opportunity. The Discipleship Week this June takes place, and they can find all this information on our website.
You have an amazing band that performs and ministers regularly at Lifeline. Tell me a little bit about them.
You know, music is such a powerful tool, for better and for worse. Thank
right.
goodness for Sonar. My word.
I love them.
Sonar, they are some of the most dynamic,
that's the band's name.
People. They came together years ago, and one of the leaders of the band, Caroline Metzinger, actually worked with me here on staff. And funny as it sounds, Sonar kind of came about as I hate to say it, but I forced her once I found out she played guitar and had vocal training. I forced her to do music at one Lifeline, and then wow, fast forward, we have this incredible band who's prayerful, worshipful, and it's a powerful tool to engage teenagers.
Caroline is a joy to visit with. She's from Australia, but her accent is slowly fading. And when I've told her that, she says, oh no.
She gets it back real quick.
That's good. They are a delight.
And I know that my brother-in-law has hosted some netters, as they call them. And what does that really entail? Are those people coming from elsewhere to be at these retreats?
Yeah, as the net teams travel around the United States, they need to stay somewhere overnight. And the parishes where they minister have families who take in these netters for maybe a night or two as they're in town. And that netter sort of kind of joins the family for whatever, a day or two. And boy, talking about a powerful influence on the young people who are in that family.
Right.
Word.
Great opportunity for evangelism within each individual family, I would
think. That's the second kind of circle of evangelization, is going into host homes and witnessing the faith, especially if they got teenagers.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
How can we find out some more about NET Ministries? And tell us again what NET stands for.
NET stands for the National Evangelization Teams. And you can Google us, NET Ministries. Let me get our website here. It's netusa.org. And you can find out all the information about how to join if you're from ages 18 to 27 and Catholic, events we do here locally and nationally. And you can even find out a little bit more about the history and how we are organized. And again, the president of NET Ministries, Archbishop Nystad, blessed to have him. He's doing a great job.
Joe, we've got a couple minutes left. I've got time for one more story, if you have one handy to pull out of your memory bank.
Let me see. Yes. Two twin boys, Matt and Eric. Oh, my word. They came to a confirmation retreat, and they sat in the back row, and I was leading the retreat, and I could tell they were just tuned out. They weren't involved. You could tell they just did not want to be
there. Like it was not their choice.
No.
Somebody made them.
No, it wasn't their choice, and they made that very, very, very clear. And but I liked those guys. They were just tough hockey players.
They were a challenge for you, too, probably.
Well, I had six brothers, so there's not much challenge left anymore. but I liked those guys, and I knew them. So as the retreat went on, I would just ask them, how are you doing with this God thing? Where are you with Jesus? Is any of this making sense? And I would just touch base with them through the retreat. And it came time for them to have the opportunity to come forward for prayer and to receive prayer, maybe to make an act of faith to follow Jesus or whatever needs they may have. And I was like, I watched them, and I came up front, and they didn't come. So just me being me, I just walked back there while there was prayer going on all around the room. Little cells of people praying, and I went to Matt and Eric. I said, "Okay, you guys, what do you think? Are you ready?" And they just kind of rolled their eyes. But I said, "Tell you what if I do this? What if I just pray with you guys for like 15 seconds? Just close your eyes. I'll put my head on your right shoulder if that's okay, and then we'll stop in 15 seconds." They said, "Okay." Put my hand on the right shoulder, looked at my clock on my left wrist, and just quietly prayed, "Holy Spirit, get them. Get them, Holy Spirit. Feel their hearts. Let them
grab
them.
Sick them."
I tell you what, after 15 seconds, I stopped, and they were in a kind of a prayer zone. And I just shook them just a little bit, and their eyes popped open like they just woke up at the alarm. And I said, "What do you think?" He said, "What was that?" I said, "Well, who do you think it was?" They looked at me. I said, "You've got two choices. One's God, and the other choice. Who do you think it was?" And they said, "It was God."
Isn't that beautiful to see almost a metamorphosis like that?
Exactly. And, I got them into Mass, and they became just alive in the faith.
And they remember that moment, I'm
they
sure.
They will, and they're married now, because this is several years back, and I have seen them, and yeah, they're doing quite well.
Awesome.
Joe Ruscha, Outreach Coordinator for Net Ministries in West St. Paul, thank you so much for joining us this morning on the Rediscover Hour.
Well, very good, Paul. Thanks, Corey. Y'all keep up the good work.
Will do. Thanks, Joe.
We put a link to Net Ministries website on our show page at rediscover-faith.org.
And here's how to get to our show page. Just like Paul said, go to rediscover-faith.org and click on radio in the top navigation bar. You'll find information about our next show as well as audio files of archived shows and links to more information about topics we've discussed.
Well, coming up on the Rediscover Hour, we all know someone who only attends Mass at the holidays. And we all want to reach out, but how?
Well, Bishop Lee Pache shares his suggestions for patiently and lovingly inviting drifted away Catholics to rediscover the faith in today's invitation situation. We'll be right back.
This is a great time of year to get organized for the busy months ahead. Part of getting organized should be preparing a simple will and trust. I'm attorney Michelle McDonald, and I want the best for my clients. But frankly, many don't understand the perils and delays of probate court and how a simple will and trust could help you and your family. At the McDonald Law Firm, we make estate plans, elder and family law mediations easy to understand. We'll help your family avoid court altogether. Feel secure in protecting the many areas of your family's legal needs. And the best part is, it's a free consultation.
Save your family thousands of dollars and protect them from the delays of probate and other family law issues. Call attorney Michelle McDonald at 651-222-4400. Michelle McDonald and her clients founded the Family Innocence Project, a nonprofit foundation. Discover their mission by visiting familyinnocence.org.
You can also visit relevantradio.com. Keyword, law.
Isn't it beautiful? Isn't it marvelous? The God of the universe. He became one of us. We cry out and
then. Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. It's time for today's invitation situation. Today we're addressing a scenario we touched on a little earlier in the show that we likely witness in our lives with family and friends every Christmas and Easter.
Yeah, it's just hard to know what to say to make that warm and welcoming invitation to consider a deeper relationship with the faith to your friends and family who only go to Mass at Christmas and Easter. Bishop Pache has some suggestions in today's invitation situation.
Hello, I'm Bishop Lee Pache, Auxiliary Bishop of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis. Our weekly invitation situation on the Rediscover Hour is all about sharing ideas and examples of how to call others into communion with Jesus through His church. Little seeds we plant to help someone along the path. This person could be a family member who has drifted away from the church. Perhaps a neighbor who doesn't practice any religion but is seeking answers to life's big questions. Or maybe a coworker who seems unhappy or in need of something beautiful and positive in his or her life. As Christians, we are called to invite others to a personal relationship with the living God, Jesus Christ. Our goal should never be instant conversion, but planting little seeds of loving and joyful invitation. When we do, the Holy Spirit takes those seeds and brings them to fruition. In today's invitation situation, adult siblings Matt and Jennifer have a little conversation a week or so after Easter. Matt and Jennifer were both raised Catholic. Matt married and started a family with his wife, and they are raising their children in the Catholic faith as well. Jennifer is single and has drifted away from the church since she went away to college out of state several years ago. Now she's living back in town, but does not attend Mass regularly.
I love that you came to Mass with us, and Easter is the most important season for us Catholics. It's just that, well, I'm worried about you. Coming to Mass a couple times a year is good, but it's not enough, Jennifer. I am worried about whether you will be saved. I care about you.
I don't know what to say to that. Are you saying I'm not a good person?
Jennifer, of course I know you're a good person. I'm just saying that I worry about your salvation.
Although Matt's heart is in the right place, he truly cares about his sister's soul, He is saying something that Jennifer is not ready to hear, and he is judging Jennifer's relationship with God. Jesus never said we shouldn't make any judgments. We use the gift of our free will to make judgments every day. But we are expressly told that we may not judge what is in another person's heart and mind, and we may never presume to know the state of another person's soul. In fact, if we do, we are hurting our own souls through sins of pride. We are demanding immediate conversion or reversion, but that is simply unrealistic. We have to trust in God's timeline, not the one we want. We have to be patient with others, as God is with us. So what should we say to those we know who are not yet living in the fullness of the life of the church? What is our responsibility to those we love with respect to their salvation? Let's see how Matt takes a different approach.
Jennifer, it was great that you joined the family for Easter Mass. You are always welcome to come to Mass with us.
Thanks, Matt. It's good coming together with Mom and Dad and you and your family.
I really mean that. You always have a place with us and in the church. We so appreciate it when you join us. And we miss you when you're not with us. The Catholic faith and my relationship with Jesus Christ is the cornerstone of my life and our family life. It brings us true joy and great peace. If you ever want to discuss the faith, I'm here and happy to talk. I also know of some other great resources for you.
In the second example, Matt demonstrates he understands that evangelization happens through witness and sharing, living the faith and spreading the good news, leading to the conversion of heart and mind to Christ over time. We all know Catholics who no longer practice the faith. Many of them still identify as Catholic, even though they no longer worship with the community, depriving themselves of the gifts of word and sacrament, and depriving the church of their participation. As an entire community of faith, and personally, we need to welcome them to become alive in the good news of Jesus, to make their lives more fully a part of the ongoing story of salvation, and to let Christ heal and reconcile them through the Holy Spirit. We must let our inactive brothers and sisters know that they always have a place in the church, and that we are hurt by their absence, as they are. We want to show our regret for any misunderstandings or pain they express regarding their relationship with the church, and we want to help them see that, however they feel about the church, we want to talk with them, share with them, and accept them as brothers and sisters. Every Catholic can be a minister of welcome, reconciliation, and understanding to those who have stopped practicing the faith. Thank you for listening to today's Invitation Situation.
Very true, and such a delicate balance to achieve, but Bishop Bechet did a nice job of showing us how we can find that balance, not judge, but invite.
Right. Be welcome and to that reconciliation and understanding to those who have stopped practicing the faith. And you can hear Bishop Bechet regularly here on the Rediscover Hour in the Invitation Situation. Now, if you have ideas for an Invitation Situation segment, we want to hear them. You can contact us through our show page at rediscover-faith.org. Remember, though, to click on the radio button in the top navigation bar that gets you right to our page, or you can email us directly at therediscoverhour@archspm.org. That's the Rediscover Hour at archspm.org.
Here's a quick look at upcoming events around the Archdiocese.
Yes, women, make your plans to attend the Archdiocesan Council of Catholic Women's 81st Annual Convention. That is May 1st and 2nd at Guardian Angels in Oakdale. And as we discussed with our ACCW guest earlier in the show, this two-day event features Mass, inspiring speaker and musician Father Jonkis, plus a wine and cheese social and banquet with live music. Thursday continues with workshop sessions, Mass with Archbishop Neinsted, and local priests, and a catered luncheon. Both days have reserved time for visiting the ever-popular shopping marketplace, a Eucharistic adoration, confession, viewing of the Guardian Angels prayer garden, and, of course, socializing with women from all corners of the Archdiocese. Again, today, April 12th, is the last day to register for the early bird rates. The cost for the two-day convention, including meals, is $65. One-day attendance is $30. and the Wednesday banquet only is $20. All registrations after today, including walk-ins, add an additional $10. And a reminder, here is how you can register. It can be done online by downloading the form at accwarchspm.org. And of course, we've set up a link on our show page at rediscover-faith.org. Just click on that radio button in the top navigation bar to get to our show page. And you can call the ACCW office at 651-291-4545. Again, that's 651-291-4545 to have a registration form mailed to you. So all you women out there, go and sign up.
And here's a reminder about that exciting faith-building opportunity we heard about in last week's Answering the Call. Considering asking someone curious about the Catholic faith to attend the Discovering Catholicism series that's going on at the Cathedral of St. Paul. Now, each event in the series features a video presentation followed by a discussion, and it's geared toward anyone considering becoming a Catholic or just wanting to learn more about the Catholic faith. The series takes place every other Tuesday, beginning April 23rd, 7 to 9 p.m. in the Ryan Room at the Cathedral of St. Paul. For more information or to sign up, call Mark Croteau at the Cathedral, 651-357-1337. That's 651-357-1337.
And we have one more event. This is May 5th, a Sunday, the Archdiocesan May Day Rosary Procession. You can gather at the State Capitol at 1:30 p.m., and the procession to the cathedral begins at 2 p.m. The procession is led by Archbishop Nienstedt. There's a May crowning, prayer, and benediction to the Blessed Sacrament, and you can follow at the cathedral. Is that right? It follows the cathedral? Follows at the cathedral. Okay. And there's info on our show page. Again, that's May 5th. Gather at 1:30 at the State Capitol. And of course, you can find all these calendar listings on our show page at rediscover-faith.org. Just click on radio in the top navigation bar.
Coming up on the next Rediscover Hour, we'll hear from internationally known and best-selling author George Weigel about the new evangelization. Then in Answering the Call, a local Rediscover success story, find out how one local parish is reaching out to bring Catholics into a fuller understanding of the faith and a deeper relationship with Jesus Christ. That's all coming up next on the Rediscover Hour.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday morning at 9, Saturday evening at 6, and Sunday morning at 9 on Relevant Radio 1330. You can find show audio archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio.